Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, over the last few months, we've been going through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapters 5 and chapter 6. And more specifically, in the last couple of weeks, we've actually been going through Jesus' teachings on how to pray. So in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus covers several topics, one of which is how to pray. And in these passages, we hear directly from the Lord about how we should pray, the attitude we should have, and what prayer is all about. So as we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds this morning, I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue this study on how we should pray.
Would you like to be a hypocrite? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 tells us how we can be a hypocrite. The Bible says here in this place, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Do you want to really be a hypocrite? Is this what's really on your heart and on your mind? Is this what you really desire in all your life, is to be the best hypocrite you can be? Well, I don't think so, is it? The Bible tells us how we can be hypocrite by praying in public so that people can hear us, and how that we pray standing in the corners of the streets. But the Bible tells us very clearly how we ought to pray in verse number 6 of Matthew 6. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So the Bible tells us how we can be hypocrite when we pray, and the Bible also tells us how we can be right when we pray. Enter into your closet. If you ask to pray in public, then enter into the closet of your heart. But most of all, you ought to have a private place where you can go and you can pray, and don't tell anybody what you prayed for. God will bless that. He really hears you, and He will really bless you when you pray. But in the book of Matthew 6 and verse 9 through verse 13, Jesus Christ gives the model prayer. He says this, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." This is a very short prayer, is it not? In the book of Matthew 6, verse 9 through verse number 13, this is a very simple prayer. This is not the prayer that the Lord prayed. In John 17, the Lord prayed, but He always prayed that the Father's will might be done, and nothing but that. John chapter 17 gives us all of the details of the Lord's prayer. But this prayer before us is a model prayer. But there's something in this prayer that we ought to look at. The Bible teaches us that sometimes we pray wrong. Sometimes we go to God in earnest prayer with nothing but our own personal prayer request. Have you ever gone to God in prayer and ask Him to take care of any number of personal requests, but you've never got an answer? And then you may have begun to think that God just simply doesn't care about what you think or about any of your requests at all. Well, the fact is that in the model prayer, there is not a place for your personal request. Let me read to you again. In the book of Matthew 6, verse 9 through verse 13. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the whole of the model prayer. But this is not all that we ever pray for, is it? Sometimes we come to God with many requests. But where do all of these requests fit into the model prayer? If you just look at this model prayer, you will find it difficult to fit all of your requests into that if your requests are not modeled after what the Lord wants. If you have fixed in your mind what you want and you pray that God would give it, then you're not praying the way that God wants you to pray. Understand that God wants us to always be dedicated to do only what He tells us to do. If we would only pray as God desires us to pray, He will take care of all of those things we're so concerned about. If we would get on our minds to do what God wants us to do and just fulfill the things that God wants us to do, God is very well able to take care of everything else. You see, what God wants for us may be some things that we have never even thought of. It may be that God wants spiritual things of us when we continually ask Him about material things or fleshly things or earthly things. But God wants us to think about spiritual things instead of material things. You see, God sees and understands much more than just human speech. Remember what Matthew 6 and verse number 8 says? Let me read to you. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Read that again. Matthew 6 and verse number 8 states, For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. God already knows what you need. God wants you to trust Him for it. God wants you to totally, completely trust Him. Nothing else. God knows everything about us. God knows exactly the situation that we're in. God knows exactly what we're facing. God knows what we can do and what we cannot do. He knows every person involved in our situation, and He is very well able to control everything we cannot control. What God wants us to do is to recognize His power over our lives, and He wants us to submit to whatever He desires of us. What He desires of us is for us to be completely submissive to His eternal will. He wants us, you see, to trust Him, not just for salvation, but He wants us to trust Him for everything else in our lives. And there's many things that we need to trust God for and not rely upon anything else. Now listen, don't trust your praying as an answer. Trust God alone. Don't trust anything you have ever done, what you intend to do, what you plan on doing. Only trust God alone. Our hope, you see, is in what God does, not in what we have done, are doing, or we plan on doing. Don't pray to God expecting Him to use you or anybody else. Trust God alone, for He is well able to answer your prayers, even answering requests that you have not verbalized to Him, because He sees and understands the desires of your heart. God knows that. Now, God doesn't mind when you make requests to Him. And sometimes we must make requests to God. I mean, it is imperative that we do that. I know that's so. But always, we submit to the will of Almighty God and pray that God would help us to yield ourselves to Him in this very difficult thing that we are currently going through. All of us have requests to make to God. And according to Matthew 6 and verse number 8, He knows each request before we make it. Now, Matthew 6 verse 8 states, "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." You see, God knows and understands the reason we are requesting a particular thing. God always is able to answer that. Think of this. Paul and Silas were in jail, right? In the book of Acts, they were in jail. And they were, what were they doing? The Bible said they were singing and praying and they were preaching to each other and they were having a good old time in the Lord. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord sent an angel and got the doors open. Even the inner doors, even they were fastened themselves, and the angel even loosened those. How did all that happen? Did Paul and Silas pray that they would be loose from the prison? No. I'm sure they wanted out, but they prayed and asked God to bless however He wanted to bless, and God blessed by turning them loose. You see? If it was God's will for them to be bound, I'm sure they would have been more than happy to stay in prison. They would have been more than happy to do whatever God wanted them to do. This is the whole thing, is that our lives are supposed to be directed by Almighty God, who owns us because He has purchased us with His own blood on the cross of Calvary. He has died for us. And we belong unto Him. We are His. And so we need to yield ourselves unto Him. God knows and understands everything that we go through. And He will answer the request that we make if we make those requests according to His eternal will. Now, if we don't ask according to His eternal will, He won't answer. He won't. If we ask according to God's own eternal will, He will answer and fulfill that request for us. But if we don't ask according to God's own eternal will, God will not answer. The heavens will be silent. If we ask anything that's not according to His will, He will not answer it. That is why we must pray, "Thy will be done." We don't pray, "My will be done." Instead, we pray, "Thy will be done." God wants us, as believers in Christ, God wants us to be submissive to His will. It is not that God is going to be submissive to our will. God wants us to pray so that we can be submissive to His will. He is much greater than us. He is stronger than us. He knows more than we do. And God wants us to be submissive to His will. God will never be submissive to our will. That's the kind of God that He is. But I'm glad that He's the kind of God that He is, because I'm glad that somebody knows what we need. And God is well able to supply all of the things that we need. This is why the only prayer request that He answers is according to His own will. Please understand that Christ was submissive to the will of His Father, just as He wants us to be submissive to His will. Matthew 26, verse 42 records that Jesus Christ got alone the second time for the purpose of praying to His Father. And here's what He prayed. This is just before His crucifixion. He prayed, "O my Father, If this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Sometimes there are hard things that we must go through. Sometimes there are things that we don't even want to happen that happen to us. God wants us to be submissive unto His eternal will. The only way that we can ever find satisfaction in this life is to be submissive to God's eternal will. And God will take care of us. God knows exactly the thing that we need. And God will answer that thing. Some of the things Christ wants us to do is hard on the flesh. But obeying the will of God is the only thing that will bring lasting peace and joy. Some things that we must go through in this life is hard on the flesh. But obeying the eternal will of the eternal God is the only thing that will bring lasting peace and lasting joy. Listen, it was very, very difficult for Christ to submit to the will of God because He was facing the wrath of men that He had created through His power. But Christ willingly submitted Himself to the will of God, allowing Himself to be beaten, allowing Himself to be scourged, allowing Himself to be publicly displayed on the cross of Calvary. He is our example. What Christ went through before the cross of Calvary and what Christ went through on the cross of Calvary is not only our salvation, it is also an example unto us. We must be submissive to His eternal will. We must follow Him, even if the way is very hard on us. Listen, it was difficult when the Son of God gave Himself over to wicked men and allowed wicked men to crucify Him, to beat Him, to mock Him, to do everything else to Him that they did. It was not a simple thing for Him to do that. Understand that what we must go through in this life oftentimes is not a very simple thing. But it is a very, very good thing that we might submit ourselves to the power of Almighty God and let God rule in us. After Jesus Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary, He was buried in a rich man's tomb. And after 3 days, He arose from the dead. This shows us that He has the power over life, He has the power over death, and He has the power over the grave. This same thing God wants us to do. God wants us to submit to whatever comes along in this life. God wants us to rely upon Him and Him alone. God can give us later more glory than we ever had before. Jesus Christ did not stay in the grave. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. It shows us that He is the eternal God, because even death could not stop Him. Sometimes death stops us humans, right? Sometimes death slows us down. Sometimes death makes us think about eternal things. But as far as God is concerned, death did not stop Jesus Christ at all. Jesus Christ was well able to overcome everything we cannot by ourselves overcome. This model prayer teaches us that if we don't forgive those that sin against us, God will not forgive us. Let's read again in verse number 12. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Notice again what this Bible says. Matthew 6 and verse number 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Many people today believe that to forgive your enemies means the offense will never be punished. But you see, forgiveness does not let the offender off the hook. It lets us off the hook. In the parable of forgiveness, Matthew 18, this is very clearly shown. We must forgive those that offend us. Forgiveness doesn't stop punishment. Forgiveness doesn't stop the judgment of the guilty. It relieves me from punishing myself with bitterness. That's exactly what forgiveness really does. Sometimes, if we do not forgive, God does not punish those that offend us. God wants us to be the kind of people that He was when He lived upon this earth. Jesus Christ was offended many, many times. But He never lashed out. He never held anybody to any kind of standard at all, saying that you've got to reach this goal before I'll ever accept you. He never did that. And Jesus Christ does not want us to do that either. Jesus Christ wants us to be the kind of people like He was. In Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22, Peter came to Christ, saying, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" I'm thinking Peter in Matthew 7, verse 21, is counting up and remembering all the times that his brother had offended him. I really wonder if someone has not offended Peter for six times. And Peter saying, "One more time and it's it." You reckon? Look what Jesus Christ answered in Matthew 18 and verse number 22. Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee, unto seven times, but 70 times seven." That is, not 490 times. Jesus Christ is saying, it's not right to keep up with that. It's not right to list those offenses out. Jesus Christ is saying, you just keep on forgiving and keep on forgiving and keep on forgiving and never stop. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. He forgives us many, many times. Sure, we offend Christ. Sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, we offend Christ. But we need to be the kind of people that always forgives. Jesus Christ will always forgive a sinner when they come to Him and ask Him to forgive, right? Jesus Christ always does that. Don't you think we ought to be more like Him and always forgive? Don't you think that it'd be real good if we could just be the kind of people that God wants us to be? But how can I forgive a great offense against me and those I love? How can I do that? Only this: by continually keeping in mind the words of our dear Lord. Only by keeping in mind what Jesus Christ has so richly said to us. Romans 8:28 states that we know that all things work together for our good. Therefore, all offenses work to cause us to be closer to God and His express will for our lives. You see, we must believe that God is a totally sovereign God. He is in total, complete control of the entire universe. And nothing is done without His permission and absolute control. The book of Job is written to show us that even the devil cannot do things unless he has God's permission. This is what it's all about. Satan troubled Job only to the extent that he was allowed by God. Look in Psalms 76 in verse number 10. The Bible says here, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Maybe you've never even seen that verse in the scripture. Notice, this is Psalms 76 and verse 10. The Bible said, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. We must believe what the Bible states in a very personal way. We must totally and completely yield ourselves and everything we own to God. This is what the Bible says. God takes care of us. God loves us. God has already died on the cross of Calvary for our eternal sins. Those little things that people offend us in, we must ask God to forgive us of all those little old bitty things. We must forgive those that sin against us, because Christ has already forgiven us of so much more. Look in Psalms 91, verse number 12. In this verse, it says this, they shall bear thee up in their hands, thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. I read this passage at the end of the broadcast only to say that God will keep us from all evil. God will give his angels charge over us, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We must remember, we must believe, that God will never allow anything to happen to us that will hurt us spiritually. Everything that happens to us will cause us to grow closer and closer to God. I'm so very glad that this is the way it is. God is well able to bless if we just do what God wants us to do. It's a very simple thing, isn't it? Just to forgive those that sinned against us. I say that partly in jest, but I say it partly in all honesty as well, because I have been hurt. People have done me wrong in my life, just like people have done you wrong in your life. But the most important thing that we can ever do is just forgive them. Just forgive them. And let God bless us and let God bless them, if it's his will. Just be submissive to whatever God in heaven wants us to do. Just be right before Almighty God. This is what God wants of us. I pray that God would bless each one of you as you listen to the broadcast, as you make application of the message of the Sermon on the Mount to your everyday life. Jesus Christ is preaching to everyday people, and he wants them and he wants you to understand.
You know, it's absolutely amazing to me to sit back and think that God, the Almighty Creator of all things, has made this means for us to talk directly to him. I mean, think about it. How wonderful is it to know that we can come before his throne? And the Bible even tells us we can come before his throne boldly. Now, at the same time, it's important to remember that our desire should be to see his will done. We need to remember what our attitude in prayer should be. It's not a thing of showing off in front of others or to be lifted up in pride, but it is a direct communication with the Lord. And as we go to him, we need to be sure that we're seeking his will and his way. You know, as we come to a close today, we do want to invite you to attend services with us this morning. We'll be meeting at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. for worship service, 3:45 prayer meeting, and then again at 4:30 for another worship service. And of course, our building is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestville, Missouri, and you're welcome to come and worship the Lord with us. Now, we do want to go ahead and close with a quick reminder to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.